From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name's Amanda Dunn. I'm the politics and society editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, the government's religious freedom bill died a pretty sudden death at the end of last week after a lot of heated and emotional debate. How significant was Morrison's inability to get that through, do you think?
I think it was very significant because he'd promised this to faith-based communities. He's seen as is very important, especially in Western Sydney, where you have ethnic communities who want action on this issue. And he thought he could, in the dying days of this parliament, really press the issue, force the issue, and get it through. But of course, in the end, he found that he couldn't control several of his own backbench. They were concerned about how transgender kids would be affected by associated legislation or failing to amend the Sex Discrimination Act. So they supported an amendment. Morrison said that was unacceptable and he therefore abandoned the whole package, which wouldn't have got through the Senate in an unamended form and mightn't have even got through in an amended form, but he wasn't going to even try his hand at that. At a church service on Sunday, he said he was devastated by the failure to deliver on this promise and very disappointed, but he claimed that to deal with the legislation as amended really would be to undermine it totally. So he's come out of this with nothing. The government hasn't yet committed to promising to legislate next term if it's returned. It's significant that Anthony Albanese now has committed, and he said this in caucus today, to legislate on religious discrimination, but to include with that an anti-vilification provision as well, which was one of the disputed points between the government and Labor last week.
Michelle, all the talk earlier in the week was about the Prime Minister's appearance on 60 Minutes on Sunday night, and particularly it seems about him playing the ukulele. The blowback has been fierce from some quarters, but the poor ratings that the show attracted suggest that maybe these sort of things are not of great interest to most voters. What's your read of it?
I don't think political things are of great interest to most voters most of the time. Of course, voters tune in when necessary and have their say at elections. But I think that at other times they often feel we just have too much politics and they're quite cynical about politicians presenting themselves in these soft ways. Whether this is really done any harm to the Prime Minister or done any good will be debated. I've seen a political commentator argue that it was a clever tactic and that Anthony Albanese will have to be on the lookout when the same program does an item on him. But others, of course, have panned the show and said it just looked too cynical, that Jenny, Scott Morrison's wife, was left taking the blame for the Hawaii trip. Scott Morrison's said, well, in the interview he gave, he accepted blame too, and they didn't play that part. So the whole debate has really descended into the weeds. I don't think, in the wider scheme of things, this will make any difference in the election campaign at all. I think that we're far too far out. There'll no doubt be a lot more soft stuff, but at the moment, in the parliament this week, we're into the really, really tough insults and claims and scaremongering by the government rather than that soft interview, which now seems to be weeks into the past, even though it's only a couple of days ago.
Yes, and on that, the government has been trying to shift all the negative attention to Labor and particularly to opposition leader Anthony Albanese. Parliament this week has given us a good idea of what the government's attack lines will be, with both Peter Dutton and Josh Frydenberg going very hard on him. How effective will it be? And do you see this as the two of them vying to be the next Liberal leader?
Undoubtedly, they are vying to be the next Liberal leader in opposition. If the government loses, there'd be a face-off between the two of them. But at the moment, I think they're driven by being the government's attack men. And this election campaign is going to be substantially about trying to destroy Anthony Albanese as a credible alternative. So what you've got at the moment is Josh Frydenberg running a line that Anthony Albanese's not ever had an economic portfolio, the government dredging up what he said when he was a Labour Party official from the left, of course, some 30 years ago, where he moved a motion at a conference favouring an inheritance tax. And they're trying to say that somewhere in the kit bag, Labour might have a death duties tax there to be brought out. Of course, Labour denies this, and I think totally credibly denies this. It's not going to go down that route. Peter Dutton was on much more dangerous, in a sense, grounds, because he's running the national security attack against Anthony Albanese. And last week, he actually went as far as suggesting that the Chinese Communist Party favoured Albanese as its candidate in the election. And early this week, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, who'd been asked to look at this by Albanese, reprimanded Peter Dutton for casting that sort of aspersion. But nevertheless, Peter Dutton's not easily put off, and the government's general line, more broadly, is that Anthony Albanese, apart from never having a security portfolio, would in fact be soft on national security. And that's defined widely as soft on Australia's borders, soft on the Chinese. And now today, there's been a particular attack on the Labor Party over legislation the government has, which would make it easier to throw out people convicted of crimes if they had some other nationality. Now, this legislation, which has been hanging about for quite a while, has particularly upset the New Zealand government, because we do deport quite a few people to New Zealand, even if they've been in this country for decades. But this would make it easier to deport people, and the crimes the government's been talking about all day are crimes like rape and domestic violence. Now, it's apparently difficult to deport if the sentences that they're given are under a certain time. And this is being very much weaponised against Labor. There are talks between the government and Labor over the legislation. So it will be interesting to see if Labor, which doesn't favour the legislation, finds some way of not being in opposition to it. In other words, if it pursues the small target strategy on this front as well.
All right. All in all, it seems to be shaping up to be a pretty vicious election campaign, Michelle.
It certainly is, and of course, this is the last week of this fortnight sitting. There's then no sitting until budget week at the end of March. That'll be a very brief and intense few days, and then we'll be off to the election very soon after that, with the election itself in May.
All right. Great to talk with you as always, Michelle. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.